Our reading this morning is from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 to 17. There is a time for everything, and a season for everything, every activity under the heavens. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to uproot. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to tear down, and a time to build. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones, and a time to gather them. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search, and a time to give up. A time to keep, and a time to throw away. A time to tear, and a time to mend. A time to be silent, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time for war, and a time for peace. What do workers gain from their toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on the human race. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live. That each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their toil. This is the gift of God. I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken from it. God does it so that people will fear him. Whatever is has already been, and what will be has been before, and God will call the past to account. And I saw something else under the sun. In the place of judgment, wickedness was there. In the place of justice, wickedness was there. I said to myself, God will bring into judgment both the righteous and the wicked, for there will be a time for every activity, a time to judge every deed. Amen.
Sure of their relationship right now. And having been brought up under the law, he knew what God would do, when he would do it, and he knew what he should do as a Jew living under the law. But in writing this book, he seems to have lost that personal relationship he had with God at the beginning of his reign. A relationship born out of love, and from this love of his service to God. And thinking about that, I thought that's something that probably Christians can relate to today. Sometimes we feel out of sync with God. We might even feel that he's not with us. He is, of course, but something has gone awry in our relationship. It's just not right at the moment. And we may begin to question what we believe and why. Or if we're going through a really difficult season, we question, how can God let this happen to me, to us? Why do we have to face this season? The good news is, it's okay to question. As the moderator of the General Assembly always says, questions are always in order. And we have a God we can talk to because we have a personal relationship with him. We can go. We can talk to him when the going's good. And when things get hard, we can talk to him. And we can ask him why. Why is this happening? We'll get answers. They may not be the answers we want to hear. But God will answer us. So Ecclesiastes is a discourse on the meaning of life by someone, as I said earlier, has everything. He's got massive wealth, more wealth, I believe, than anyone at that time. He has power. He has position. Yet he feels he's got nothing, that it's all meaningless. And to this extent, he's pursued everything possible that life has to offer in search of meaning. And he finds it all to be meaningless. Yet, he realizes God has made everything perfect, that there is a time for everything, including a time when God will judge everyone. So says Solomon, obey God, do what is right, even if you don't understand why, because it's better to be judged for doing what is right than doing what is wrong. You can see, you can feel how Solomon is struggling. Through all his pursuits he's undertaken, he realizes God is in control. There's a time for everything and it can't be changed. Perhaps at this time, he begins to realize just how far away from God he is. Perhaps he longs to go back to God, to the relationship they once had. Solomon, as we know, was renowned for his wisdom. Unfortunately, this wisdom, a gift from God, which he asked for, and God was so pleased he asked for something like that and not for, as we would say today, personal gain. He gave it him. He granted him so much. But somehow, somewhere along the line of his life, this wisdom didn't stop him making mistakes. But then we are all only human. And some of these mistakes were absolutely horrendous. I wonder, being so wise, being so gifted with wisdom, did Solomon begin to trust his own wisdom and judgment when he should have consulted God? So we have a situation that we read about in Scripture where Solomon either ignores or has forgotten what God has told Israel about amassing wealth, marrying foreign women. He marries multiple times, many to forge alliances with other kingdoms. He didn't need to do that. God is in control. God has always sorted that out. He's famous or infamous for marrying 700 wives. And of course, he had 300 concubines. He also amasses great wealth for himself. I think I read somewhere he probably amassed more wealth in his reign than any king from that date onwards. It was a massive amount. And he sent men to Egypt to buy chariots and horses because they were the best available. However, all the things I've just mentioned were forbidden by God. God had warned Israel, don't do these things. They will lead to your harm. Don't marry foreign wives, because your foreign wives will turn your hearts to their gods. Solomon built the temple to the Lord. We know that. But it wasn't the only place of worship he built. He built places of worship for his wife's gods. It's easy in hindsight to look back on this, but I struggle with how he did that, why he would do that. I think it shows us how far the relationship between Solomon and God had changed. And by doing this, because he was the king, the leader, it was as if Solomon was inviting Israel to worship other gods. It's okay, they've got places of worship. Look at the statues, you can worship there. And false gods also had their idols in their homes. Was Solomon's heart no longer fully devoted to God? Is society so different today? It's a horrible thing to ask. But as Christians, not just here, throughout the world, are our hearts fully devoted to God? Or do other things distract us? Do they take our full attention away from God? Maybe without us realizing it. It's very easy in the multimedia world we live today to be distracted. I see so many young mums. We seem to have an influx suddenly of births where I live, and they walk, because I'm on the main street in and out of where we live, past my house, and they're pushing their prams with one hand and they're on the phone with the other. And I just think, you've got a wee one there, you can be chatting away to them, telling them everything. And they're still on the phone when they walk back. And I just think, wow, I know I'm not to judge, but yeah. Social media, constant contact with everyone seems to be the norm. And is that slightly altering how we see God? How we react, our relationship with God? I don't know, just putting it out there. We live in an uncertain world today. There is a lot going on that we probably don't agree with. And at the same time, as this difficult world we find ourselves in, we may be struggling with employment issues, with family life, with friends. Work colleagues. I know someone who's been bullied at work, and finally HR has moved them to another position and actually disbanded the group they were with because they found out they were a bullying culture. Life is not easy. But when these things happen, and if they happen, who do we turn to? Are we tempted to think we can manage by ourselves? Or do we think we should be able to manage by ourselves? Because we've got brains, we're adults, and really it's a tiny, tiny little problem compared to God having to deal with something like Gaza. It's insignificant. Let's not trouble God. He's got lots more things to deal with. I don't hold to that view. To me, God is huge, awesome, and powerful, and he is there for every one of us because he loves. He knows each one of us before we're born. He loves us. So that little problem we think is little, too little for God, but is huge for us, we can bring it to him because he has the power, the capacity, the love to deal with that as well as all the other things that are going on in his creation. We are fortunate people because we live in post-resurrection times. The kingdom is inaugurated. It's here. We have begun living in the kingdom life today. We may doubt that sometimes when we find ourselves living in a season we don't like, or when we see what's happening around us. But Jesus never said, come and follow me, life will be a doddle, it's dead easy. But he did say he would always be with us. He would never leave us. There is a time, a season for everything. We may not like that time. We may not like the season. Or we may want the season to last a wee bit longer because it's so good. But let's take what we learn from each season into the next, in the assurance and the knowledge that we have Jesus walking that season with us every step of the way. We have a God who gave everything for us to enable us to have that personal relationship with him again. So let us, like Solomon, ask for the right things from God. Let's always consult God in all we do, in every little minute, minuscule thing we do every day. Because life is not meaningless, as Solomon found, when it is lived for and with our God.